hanging at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
4 o'clock hour is here. That was a good reminder. I almost forgot. 4 o'clock hour. Show's a little earlier today, so we go another 55 minutes. Mark McMillan hanging out in the booth here, the David Home booth at Allegiant. As we're getting ready for UNLV. And Syracuse, Willie Ramirez coming up in less than 2 minutes. Want to remind you, a good way to start the football weekend is over with our friends at Ellis Island in the front yard. They do a tailgate on Friday nights. That includes the David Perico band, the Raiders house band. They'll be playing. They go 10 to midnight over at the front yard. And I was there last week. Dynamite time. The lead singers of that group are awesome. And then David Perico's fantastic as well. And then you see him here often on Sunday. So the building is kind of quiet right now. The Torch Terrace is going to open up here in about a half an hour. Drink specials, happy hour. Can I tell you, Willie, as I bring in Willie Ramirez and Greg's over, and I'll ask Greg this. I'll actually ask Greg first. Greg, you've been a lot of places. Did you know that happy hour, because of some still existing stupid drinking laws in some states, happy hour does not exist?
Really? No, I didn't know that. Yeah. What, is that like a law because they drink too much in a short period of time or something?
I think it's probably, well, first of all, it's probably faith-based, right? Mm. Which goes back to olden days.
Yeah.
I was talking to a friend yesterday, and he comes on with us every Thursday, Michael Felder, our college football insider from Bleacher Report, and I was talking about this happy hour here, which happy hour I thought was like a common thing everywhere in the country. He said,
right.
Yeah, they used to have the Sunday laws where you couldn't drink on Sunday or buy drinks on Sunday, liquor on Sunday, beer
yep.
on Sunday. They got rid of that, but according to him, that you can't do happy hour.
That's crazy, man.
In North Carolina. I'm like, what?
It's funny because I lived in the Midwest for a while, and like on Sundays, it was like a mini prohibition, so there'd be bootleggers everywhere because everybody forgot to get liquor or whatever it was.
Oh, my God.
So you had to like
is it really? So yeah. There's like a black market on Sundays.
Yeah, there's like an alley you pull into, and some guy comes out the back with like a case or whatever, puts it in your trunk, and you pay him, and you drive off.
You have a pretty felonious background, so I assume what? Did you sell or buy often?
I bought mostly. I mean, I sold other stuff, but it wasn't alcohol.
There you go.
Oh, wow.
I know, Willie.
He's
got a dangerous background. What's going on, Willie?
What's happening? I'm excited. The only thing that I was a little annoyed at getting ready today was we did an apparel drop at the Perfect Gym a few years ago in pastels. Jordan did men's and women's. And I was looking for the pink top because it was like we have this fleece outfit, blue, banana cream, and pink. And I don't have the pink top anymore. I let somebody leave with it when she left in the middle of the night.
Wow.
And I'm really pissed off because I wanted to wear that tonight because in honor of breast cancer awareness.
Yep.
So I have no pink,
I have pink dress shirts,
but that's it.
Salerno, you have any pink? Not on today, but in general?
Yeah. I used to have an Izod shirt that was kind of pink. But I haven't worn it in a long time because it doesn't fit me anymore.
What's up, big fella?
I'm good, man.
Wait, whoa, be careful.
What are you talking about, big? Be careful. You opened the show saying that.
I know, but he gets very sensitive.
I didn't get sensitive. I just said that, you know, whatever, man. You know, you don't have to point it out. It's like, hey, Steve.
I look at it like this, Salerno.
Hey, ugly.
I say it in that you are larger than life in terms of Las Vegas. Like, I mean, you're on stage, you're headlining, you're here, you're there. I mean, between you and the Gooch. I mean, you're big time, so you're a big fella. You know what I'm saying?
All right, that's cool, man.
I was more than you could have been. I was offended when Steve goes, well, there's a couple of big fellas that are going to be on today. I thought he would at least give me a shout out for my lifting efforts, but hey, I didn't make the cut.
You know what? I worry about everyone being sensitive. Griffin, did I point out the picture of Willie with the Ellis Island crew?
You did, in detail.
Yeah.
What happened?
There is a picture. It was you, me, and Steve Sear, and I think you had a big puffy shirt on. Mm-hmm. Like, you really did look like you were like 5'6", 325.
Oh, nice.
It was like Ivan Putski or who was it, Bill Kazmaier. Remember him, the strongman?
Sure.
Like, you just looked massive, and I'm like, he's not that big. It wasn't flattering, that's what I'm saying. You had a baggy, you were dressed for comfort, not for style and appearance.
Oh, I'm heavy.
Are you a little bigger right now?
Yeah. That's why I wanted to do the. That's why I would have fit right in with the donut eating contest because it's a good time. It's a good time to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many do you think you could eat, man? Because Colefield's setting his line at 5, which I think is really low.
Yeah, that's low. I could eat all 12. I just don't know if I could do it in 2 minutes. Is it 2 minutes?
No. It's we have 4 full minutes to eat 2 dozen, but it's a race to 24. So Mickey Sudo is not going to take 4 minutes.
I see.
Once she wins, do I need to keep going?
Oh, wait.
Or do I just start chucking the rest of the donuts into the crowd?
Yeah, I don't know if I could do 24. I think I could I could do a dozen.
Wow.
I know I could do a dozen. No problem.
Wow. Okay. All right.
It's just like we talked about the other day. Okay, Greg.
Yeah.
There are foods in your realm. Aren't there foods in your realm where you do not have to be hungry? Like if somebody says, "No, I'm not hungry." BS. You do not have to be hungry for shooting foods, right? There are certain foods where you be like, "What do you mean you're not hungry?" You don't have to be hungry to eat. My two are pizza and donuts.
Yes. No, I totally agree. I'd throw bagels in there too. I feel like I could eat probably 2 dozen bagels in like an hour or something if I had to.
Two dozen?
What? No, bagels. I got to be up for a bagel, but
yeah.
Pizza. The reason why I know I could get through a dozen donuts is because I get a large, like New York style pizza.
Yeah.
And when I say large, I mean like where the slices are big as your head. You fold it up. The grease. I could do a large on my own. Like when my son lived at the house when he was still living at the crib. We'd always have to get two. There was no eating just one. There was no one.
No, I agree. Plus, I mean, you probably have a higher caloric
intake.
Yes. Yes, because you work out a lot and actually burn calories while I sit. So, I mean, it's probably different for you. But
yeah, you just let it sit and fester.
I mean, I feel bad now. We probably should have had a Cofield and Company contest, and the winner goes on.
Well, we still have time to do our own.
We do.
Yeah. We could do it at one of our chosen locations, and you know that we have sponsor the place.
I don't think I could do pizza.
No, we could.
You guys are animals.
We could do donuts.
With the pizza.
We could do wings. I've done it. Okay, I've done a wing eating contest, but it was not on time. When my son was in high school, we used to travel for wrestling, and I did it with one of the wrestlers, and we just wanted to see how many we could do while we were there. We both agreed to stop at 48.
That's crazy.
We just kept ordering them by the dozen. It was, okay, bring another dozen, bring another. So when we got to that fourth dozen, we agreed, okay. Actually, I think they were by, like, you could order, like, 5, 10, or 15. It wasn't by the dozen. And we got to the 50 mark, and we both agreed. We said, okay, neither one of us will eat a 49th, so we will not, you know. So, yeah.
What do you consider a whole eaten wing, though? Because I know myself.
The bone's got to be, you got to eat the bone. It's got to be, not the bone, but it's got to be clean.
Yeah,
you
got to
put the whole thing.
That.
You got to dig your thumb in the flat and break, and then put it in and scrape it against your teeth. Then you got to turn it over and you got to grab the meat. It's got to be clean.
I think half the contest is like ripping the meat off the bone, not doing it. You know, like you would just with your teeth.
No,
you got to be efficient at doing it.
Yes, both ends got to be clean.
All right, what do the Aces have to be efficient at tonight to survive in this series? Right across the street, we're at Allegiant. They're over at Mick Ultra Arena. Which, by the way, can I just step back for a second? Willie's been here longer than I have in Vegas. Yeah. Greg, you've been here a long time.
Yeah.
Like, what we're doing here is pretty incredible. That we got a big college football game on a Friday night in the 60,000-seat stadium, and then we got an arena right across the way.
Yeah.
Someday, because we can look out right here, we think. I know I can look out. But past that pyramid, on the other side of that, if they can get the deal done, we're going to have a baseball stadium right there too.
Tomorrow, there will be the preseason finale of the Golden Knights. At T-Mobile. So, I mean.
I want to see where this baseball stadium goes. It's funny, stupid stories I tell all the time. But I was talking to the Syracuse tech guy coming up the elevator. And he's like, oh, where's the baseball stadium going? And I'm such a Vegas nerd that I start telling him, like, all these details about stadiums. And I'm sure he's like, I just want to know where it's going, okay? But I was explaining to him, I'm like, really, the best spot was going to be over on the Wild Wild West site. Right?
Yes.
You would have had a baseball stadium within walking distance on the same side of the 15 as the Al, and then you'd probably have a walking bridge, Greg, from that Wild Wild West site with a baseball stadium over to T-Mobile.
You know, I'm always probably thinking of that spot wrong because I don't think it's big. I think it's a great location, but I don't think it's big enough. I'm trying to think of that parking lot.
It's way bigger.
Because is it really?
Because there's two pieces of the property. It's where the hotel was in the parking lot, and then there's the – I don't – Is the lot with the lounge lizards, is that still open with all the trucks? Yeah, that's a gigantic. And the other thing is, Greg, it goes really far north. It still goes further north.
The two locations.
I think it's 120 acres total.
The two locations.
What are we on, 37?
Yeah. The two locations I was sour on was
42, whatever it is.
Rio and Trop, only because I hate to see properties torn down for the sake of.
I don't think the Rio would be torn down. I think they have so much extra property with the parking lot. It would be
the stadium would be
connected to either that. You're right. It might be torn down. They might build a new hotel casino with a stadium.
I remember when that was built. I don't remember when the Trop was built because, you know, I was a little kid and Trop was, a landmark, if you will, even though there was a landmark. But, I mean, I remember when
You've explained in the past that where the Trop is now, right across the street, was the and this is crazy. If you weren't here, you're like, what? Right across the street on the MGM property across from the Trop was just a residential neighborhood that didn't your Uncle Paul live in there?
Yes. So right across from the Trop on the corner was the Marina Hotel. They kept that as part of the MGM. So it's like a low part that goes into the part that looks like steps going up. That lower part was the Marina. Yeah. They kept it so they could say, well, we kept history of Las Vegas. Behind that, down to Harmon and all the way down to Koval, was the Tropicana Golf Course. And bordering on Trop, there was a long brick wall with homes.
That's neat.
Steve Wynn lived at one end. My uncle lived at the other end. And in between were just a bunch of, old schoolers that lived there.
Imagine that, Greg. You turn off LV Boulevard, and you're like, my house is right there. it doesn't seem real because it's been a while.
I had a friend in town that met a guy who said they can get him something at like 3 a.m. that was over there, right, in that little neighborhood. I remember waiting for a guy to come back out of the house. I don't know if he's going to be alive or not.
There you go. So I was talking about the fact that we got a basketball game, WNBA game right across the street. So what's the vibe? How do you feel going in? Because I thought – Greg, I came in the other day after the Aces had gone down 2-0, and I'm like, it's all over. I figured I was tweaking Willie, and he'd be like, they're coming back.
Right.
Are you off the deck here or what?
No, I don't see them winning tonight.
They're going to win tonight?
I don't think so.
Wow.
I just don't. I was looking at the numbers. So four players for the New York Liberty are averaging double digits in the postseason. One of them is Leoni Fibich, who just made the all-rookie team. What's been Sabrina Ionescu's biggest knock the past several years or past few years? Her postseason play. She's leading the team with 24 points per game in four postseason games. Jonquel Jones averaging a double-double in the postseason. Brianna Stewart mixed in there. Coming off the bench is Courtney Vandersloot, and she just had a big game too. When you look at the depth of the New York Liberty in terms of Lainey Hamilton, Sabali, Kayla Thornton, Vandersloot, Kennedy Burke. I mean, this team, Steve, is deep. We're not getting that from the Aces. And now Kia Stokes is down. I was listening to the broadcast. I was watching the TV show the other night, the TV broadcast the other night, and they go to the sideline reporter, and she's like, Jackie Young hasn't been the same since the start of the since the Olympic break, since they got back. She's nursing an injury, but she told me in confidentiality, blah, blah. Everybody already knows what she's been like. They made it seem like this is top-notch secret, like she was privileged information. Jackie Young has been nursing a back injury. It's not good. Chelsea Gray, of course, coming off the foot injury. I don't know what's going on with Kelsey Plum and Becky Hammond. I think she just erupted on her. And Asia's been shouldering the burden. Without that depth, ain't going to happen.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Sports Reno.
Man, I've been drinking water all day. I got to go soon. I am dehydrated. Did I tell you, Greg, last week I completely screwed up. I was feeling a little bit, I act like I'm a football player on the sidelines. I don't get physical, but, I'm walking around down there during the games. And UNLV takes out Fresno 59-14. I'm working the sideline, and I'm like, let me grab a little Gatorade. So I go up to the drink area, and I see a cup, and I'm like, that's not much Gatorade in there. Green. So I drink it, and I'm like, pickle juice.
Okay. Really?
So then I try – well, because that's for cramping.
But was it outdoors?
One more time?
Were you outdoors?
No, it was in here at Allegiant.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It seems like it would be for like a human outdoor game or something.
No, it's for cramping.
Okay.
So one of the things they do. So then I did a little concoction. I did some green Gatorade, mixed it up with the pickle juice, and I was good to go.
Nice.
So
that's good.
And then I got yelled at by the drink people. Like, what are you doing, fatty? It's for the players. I made that part up. All right, Willie's here at the stadium with me as we're getting ready for Ted Wien's pregame show. Matt Nevert, Caleb Herring, along in just a little bit. Salerno's over at TI Vegas. Greg, we got to get Willie's take because he covers the Raiders as well.
Yeah.
I did a lot during the week on Antonio Pierce and that leg thing, and I don't think I had the whole story until yesterday talking to more people, which is on me. Do we cut Pierce a break here? I think there was a lot more going on with Devontae the last couple weeks, and I think a lot of that drama was stirred up by him at the beginning of the week. Not AP.
I have my own take on this, and I was asking Steve during the break if I had time real quick to send Griffin a link to play during the rejoin. Greg, do you remember the poignant moment in Goodfellas at the very beginning when Henry Hill was still a youngster and he gets pinched for the first time and he's walking out of the courthouse and Robert De Niro puts his arm around him? Do you remember what he's told him?
Yeah, it was actually Polly that comes down and says, "Hey, you broke your cherry."
Right, but before that.
Oh, sorry.
When after he's walking out, before they enter that back hallway.
Oh, yes, I do. I'm sorry, yes.
De Niro says you learn the two most important things.
Yes, about. Never rat on your friends and keep your mouth shut.
Exactly.
Yep.
Is AP, do you look at somebody like Antonio Pierce? Do you think he's a rat?
No.
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 How do we know that he even does his social media, and how do we not know that somebody else hit that like, so he's not going to throw somebody under the bus, be an excuse maker, go, "That wasn't me," because it would sound kind of suspicious, like everybody else and their mother says, "That wasn't me, it was somebody else, I don't run my social media," because now all of a sudden it looks like he's scapegoating, and instead he just moves on from it because he's not going to rat anybody out. How do we know that this dude has time to thumb through social media? Do we know for a fact that he runs his social media? What we do know is that there are coaches and there are players that have other people running their social media.
That's a really good point. I mean, I've actually done that before where I've posted something on ESPN's Twitter and I'm like, "Oh, crap." Like, I did that from the wrong account. And I have to go back and like delete it and then put it back on my account or something. So, I mean, yeah, a lot of things could happen. He could have been – it could have been somebody else. It could have been – who cares? Even if it was him – maybe he just liked it because he had already heard the story. He knows the story's about to come out. And he's like, "Hey, what the hell? Who cares?"
Yeah. You know. Yeah, I think that I don't know if that's true, but I think that he has a lot more to be concerned with going up to Denver. I mean, there's a lot of pressure on this team with the win streak in terms of never losing to Denver since they've gotten to Vegas. Denver obviously going to be hungry, looking for a motivating factor to beat the Raiders, and they're in a good situation with off-field distractions, if that's what you want to call them. I also kind of got a kick out of this. I don't know if you guys saw my tweet, but Pierce last week after the win came on to the podium and said, "First of all, I want to apologize for last week saying that the business decisions, because I don't want it to be a distraction." Yet this whole week and the liked post has been nothing but a distraction. So I kind of found that a little contradictory too. But that's kind of I've been thinking that all week. Do we even know that he runs his social media, number one? Number two, when confronted, would he even rat somebody out? So that's my take.
Well, he could have gone scorched earth earlier in the week or along the way with the Arizona State thing, right? He took the hit on that one.
Add that.
Eight-year show cause.
Add that to the mix. I don't even know how much that's a distraction because it's like it doesn't affect the rate. Yeah.
I just meant on snitching.
Oh, yeah.
And ratting on people. Like, he could have thrown other people under the bus and instead of taking the brunt of the penalty, which he got hit hard.
Yes, he did.
So, and I pointed out yesterday, a show cause of whatever it was, 3 or 4 years for Jim Harbaugh is one thing. Harbaugh, he's not coaching in college again.
And
AP might need to coach in college down the road somewhere.
And speaking of not being a rat, transition to UNLV, you sent me an article earlier this week.
What did I do?
You sent me an article on this program that was written on a national website, a very in-depth article about the UNLV situation from last week.
Right.
Okay, there was one name that was being thrown under the bus all week last week.
Yep.
Okay, in that story, there were other names. That coordinator, and of course he was probably under instruction. No, we're not commenting on this, but he could have very easily scapegoated. Anybody could have to start throwing people under the bus. Somebody obviously did, but
they closed ranks. This school wants to be quiet on all fronts, That was one of the things they needed to clean up from the TKM era.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that the damage that was done with the way they got rid of Dave Rice, and there was always leaks all the time. That stuff can't happen, man.
Yeah.
That's why I was doing rants early in the week, like with the Raiders. You got to button this up.
You got
enough of leak here or this report. I don't care who you're friends with. They don't need to friggin' scoop. The team's harmony and unity and sticking together is more important than getting a pop for one of your friends in the media.
You got a lot of tight-lipped people between the Raiders and UNLV and keeping everything, and then all of a sudden after game two, you have Becky Hammon coming out and saying, we got players in commercials, we got celebrities on this team, yet the Asia Wilson rent-a-car commercial, Sabrina Ionescu's in that commercial. Those commercials are all filmed during the off season.
Right.
And I asked Becky.
But that is true, Becky. Like she doesn't have a filter. You know, she's deep down, she's annoyed by a lot of the stuff. Anything that freaking distracts from 100% attention to playing basketball, I'm sure behind the scenes she's like, eh, here we go.
And that's fine. But you know what? When they got back from South Carolina after the preseason and they did the Washington, D.C., we were in a press conference and I asked her, Becky, are you glad you got the D.C. trip out of the way? Are you glad that you got, you know, the exhibition, the honoring at South Carolina, all these things before the season? Because last year it was the first East Coast trip where they went to Washington, D.C., and then they suffered a loss, right? So she said, yeah. She said, it comes with the territory. We're not going to make excuses, but that's what comes with. There's no distractions. There's no, you know. So I asked her if a lot of this stuff that was going on, especially with the growing – the heightened exposure of the Las Vegas Aces and Asia Wilson was a problem, and she shut it down. So don't want to hear it.
It's a public stance.
Hey, and guess what? Welcome to Caitlin Clark's world.
Yeah. Times 50.
If anybody can use an excuse for off-court distractions during this entire season,
my Lord,
it's Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, the rookie class, so, and Asia, if she wanted to, but Asia doesn't. So,
Greg?
I got a question for Willie. It's kind of a two-part question because I know you have the pulse on both of these teams. Aces, going into the season, obviously defending champs two times. Everybody had high expectations. They struggled out the gate. Looked like after the Olympics they were going to turn on a little bit, then struggled a little bit out the gate there. Are these the same problems they're having that you saw before that they're having against the Liberty, or is Liberty just a really good team? And then my second question, so I don't have to bother you again, is Davante Adams, a lot of times with the wide receivers – you know, there'll be like factions in the locker room. Is there any evidence that there's a Davante faction in that Raiders locker room, or is it pretty much everybody on the same
boat? Hold those. We got to stay on time here because we're going to be tight at the end of the show. No, it's good.
Yeah.
Willie's going to come back. Give us 3 more minutes.
Yep.
We'll come back. Kenny White's going to close out the show before we hand it off to Matt Neverett, Caleb Herring for the Ted Wins pregame show. As pregame's at 5 o'clock, kickoff here at Allegiant is 6. Well, you know what? I blanked on the clock there. We still have more time. I forgot. I was on my 2 and 3. Yeah, it just hit me. Griffin's like, no, you're not going to break. You have time to answer it.
Oh, we're
yeah.
On.
I'm sorry. We have an extra 2 minutes in this hour.
Okay.
Around 4:29. My bad.
Okay. So
that was a good out, though.
In answer to it was a great out. It was
we're back.
It was a good tease. Hey, and we're back. So Aces. I think that I've said this since day one, and I've referred to this quote since last year. Sandy Brundello last year said it's the Aces and the rest of the league that has to catch up. They've caught up. I think that the Aces took way too long to decide, hey, we just need to worry about ourselves, do what we do, and didn't look at the opponents they were making to make the adjustments and coach or and practice for each opponent. It was more so do what we do. Well, the problem is what you've done for 2 years now, the better teams in the league were well prepared for you. The Liberty are just that much better. I just told you about the depth that that team has. And so I think that there's contributing factors. Chelsea Gray wasn't healthy coming in. I don't think that she was 100% when she did come back. She goes to Paris. That can be trying. She's a new mom. Her and her wife, Tip, they have a baby. So, I mean, that she talked to me a little bit about, you know, just going home and having a son. So, I mean, there's just a number of different things. Jackie Young with her injury. And now you have the depth situation. Kirsten Bell's not coming off the bench. They grabbed Tip Hayes. Alicia Clark's coming off the bench. Kate Martin, she started off, you know, being a regular reserve. Now she's not. So, I mean, Megan Gustafson did her part. But when you look at the talent from 6 to 10 on these different teams, I think that doesn't help. And then when they do get down and teams are challenging them, Asia's putting the team on her shoulders. because she's been able to do that in the past, but now she's not because teams are ready for that. So I think that those are contributing factors altogether when you're talking about the aces of the past two years and the aces of this season.
Greg, we're going to go to break this time. Reiterate your Devontae question, and we'll address it on the other side.
Yeah, I was just curious about how, like, sometimes when a team has something like this go on, like I know T.O. with the Eagles, for instance, there was like a T.O. faction in the locker room with the Eagles. Is there a Devontae faction, or is the team pretty much united behind, you know, the coach and what's going on?
We'll save this for the way back. Remember, right now, Greg's hanging out at the Golden Circle. Tomorrow we're back 9 to 11. Jared and Danny are on the scene. They've got the great breakfast menu. Get you ready for the college football kickoffs. Granola parfait. Come on, get serious now. Chorizo con papas, chicken chilaquiles, great menu. Lunch as well, dinner as well. Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar.
Hanging at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Out here at the stadium getting ready for UNLV, kicking off against Syracuse. Salerno's hanging out, manning the stop over at Treasure Island, Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. By the way, Oregon featured on TV tonight, should smash Michigan State, but you never know. A lot of long trips this weekend. Obviously, Syracuse coming on a long trip here. Hasn't played a road game, and their first trip is all the way cross country in Las Vegas. I'm glad Willie's here, because we're getting a little more depth on the AP-like gate. That I don't think that was a big factor. That was just kind of the end of the whole thing. That it's been building for a while. Greg was asking Willie, who covers the Raiders for AP and for WGRamirez.com, about clicks. This has been brewing for a while. And I don't know if it's an issue with Devontae and the players, or Devontae and a coach, or Devontae and coaches.
I personally do not think that there's a divide in the locker room. I think that Devontae Adams. Let's talk about.
Can I just jump in right now, real quick?
Yeah.
Because we have people who work around the Raiders who deny there was anything wrong. Just watch the freaking receiver show.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like, that was last year.
Look, no.
That doesn't just go away.
No. And I was.
He said last year, basically, do something or. I don't know if I'm staying around anymore. You think that was just going to go away going into the season and going into camp?
Right, and that is what I was about to say is, let's start from the beginning. He was brought in to play with his best friend, his college teammate, okay? Josh McDaniel screws him over, and Devontae is left in the lurch. Then they bring in Jimmy G, which isn't even a Band-Aid for the wound, and... I mean, that was a horrible mix. Now, and this is not a knock on Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell, but this is also not what Devontae Adams signed up for. If you're going to – because when he got here, we were writing – as writers, we were saying, you know, Devontae Adams, who arguably is the best receiver in football, when you bring someone like that in, you pair him with the same caliber or, you know – elite label that he is. You don't just give him a journeyman or a second year guy or a rookie last year when Antonio Pierce took over. Is that the fault of AP in his camp? I think that when you look at the draft, they failed to get what they needed. They didn't trade for anybody. I don't know if they were in talks and they dropped the ball. I don't know all that part. But the fact that what I do know is that this is not what Devontae Adams signed up for. So they can the locker room or Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell can hold it against him if they want, but he's made it clear, I think, from the jump what he expected from the previous regime, and it's not working. Now, is there a power struggle? Well, I mean, it is a little fishy that Antonio Pierce comes out and says, everybody that's available, if they're healthy, they're playing in this preseason game. Oh, the next day, Devontae tweaks something, so he doesn't have to play. Now, all of a sudden, AP comes out and says, well, we noticed this, this, that, and the other, and we're making business decisions. And then all of a sudden, we look up at Max Crosby. Granted, I'm sure he has a high ankle sprain. This dude has a passion and love for Raider Nation and to be on the football field. I don't think he's faking anything, but Devontae, Max Crosby, they're now on the shelf, and now they may not play this week. So I think that there might be a divide between Devontae and the staff, but I think they have to understand to a degree that this is not what an all-pro guy who could go into the Hall of Fame signed up for.
Willie, we appreciate it.
I'll see you at the donut stand.
Yes, right up on the big stage, right by the torch.
Greg, this is good. Are you coming here, Greg? Because listen, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to get footage of this. I'm sending it to Griffin. The crumbs, everything that's coming down,
sloppy.
The milk or water, whatever he has.
I won't be there, unfortunately, but I want to see this. So please send it to me when you can.
Yeah, we'll have video of it.
All right.
We'll have video of it. I'm telling you, five donuts. It's tough, man. It's tough. Tough world we live in with the competitive eating. Allegiant Stadium, kickoff 6 o'clock, pregame coming up at 5. It's Cofield and Company. Up next, Kenny White and the Eye on Sports Gambling, brought to you by our friends at Oasis Bar and Grill.
It's Cofield and Company's Eye on Sports Gambling, presented by Oasis Bar and Grill, only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
All right, we got Kenny White in. KennyWhiteSports.com, Salerno. Energy starting to build here at Allegiant. We'll see what kind of crowd shows up. Hopefully it's a good size and super loud. Syracuse for the first trip of the season. What's going on, Kenny? It's Cofield and Salerno.
Hi, Salerno. Hey, Cofield. What's going on, guys? Should be very interesting. Yeah, first time out of the state of New York for Syracuse in this one, so... I guess the big question mark is, UNLV, are they able to get their heads in the door now being an AP top 25 team for the first time?
I mean, that is a concern for any team and program that hasn't dealt with prosperity for a long time. This is a relatively fresh group built around some core guys. So I would assume the guys who were here during Arroyo, and believe it or not, there's actually a couple Sanchez guys still on the roster, that they're not going to have a bloated ego. But it is a factor in college football from week to week. You don't know what team is going to show up when things are going well.
Hey, well, are they between 18 and 22 years old? Maybe 23 now, some 24. But majority, the average age is probably 20, 21 in that realm. So very easy to have ups and downs in your life at that age.
Did you have a lean or like on this game, the side or the total? Because the side, obviously, that one exploded. The total's way up.
Yeah, I thought it would be a high-scoring game. Syracuse loves to throw the football, and they got a really good quarterback. Kyle McCord came from Ohio State. I thought this would be a very good team this year. Disappointed me against Stanford. They just didn't – I don't think they played very hard in that game when I watched it. But they got talent, but UNLV does too, and I think UNLV should be the favorite in this game. I think I made them 5, so it's about right where it should be.
Let's bounce around with Kenny White on some college football games. First of all, you're looking at Arizona?
Yeah, I like the quarterback for Arizona. He's done a nice job. Second year as the starter, Noah Fafita. But more than anything, I like this defense. I think they're extremely solid defensively. They showed it last week at Utah. They're off to a 3-1 start. Brent Brennan, obviously first year at Arizona. You know, he gets caught up in the chain with the Washington coach going to Alabama, the Arizona coach going to Washington, and he moves from San Jose to Arizona. And he's not a newcomer to this conference or the old Pac-12. He was at Oregon State for 6 years as a wide receiver coach, and before that he was at San Jose as a co-coordinator. So Brennan had a lot of years as an assistant and has 7 years as a head coach, and he won the Mountain West in his last year at San Jose. And his teams have fared extremely well at home. Texas Tech's got a great quarterback themselves in Brennan Morton, and they love to throw it. This game's going to be football's in the air. I like it over as well. I played it over, Steve. The 21st most passing team in the country is Texas Tech. Arizona's better than them. They throw it 56% of the time, number 14. Texas Tech plays fast. Arizona plays slow. But with as many footballs in the air and this passing, is going to be a long game, 3.5 hours. I think I made the total 70, but I think Arizona's the better play. Texas Tech's defense, I have rated 92nd in the country, and they've kind of underperformed my number this year. So it's a weak team. Their quarterbacks put up great numbers against the bad teams. 9 touchdowns, no INTs against Abilene and North Texas. He was 5-2 against the good teams. So there'll be some turnovers in this game. That'll help get the total over. But I like Arizona here. I made him 13.5, total 70.5.
Kenny White, KennyWhiteSports.com, is on Cofield & Company. He joins us every Friday, gives us his leans and likes, and some other games. We just throw games at him on these Fridays. So Armed Forces football right now is really interesting because Air Force, I think, had been the most consistent program over the last 6-7 years. Air Force ain't great right now. Man, people better start paying attention to both Army and Navy. So what do you want to do in this game with Air Force?
Yeah, well, it's the Commanders in Chief Trophy game, and this is what they call over the pond a derby game, which is big rivals, and that means the handicappers over the pond, what they've done over the years, throw out the stats. They don't mean a thing when this game's played. So Navy stats look amazing. Air Forces do not. They're 0-4. They lost to Merrimack, San Jose, at Baylor, and at Wyoming. You know, not the greatest schedule in the world either, but not the worst. Navy's played the 121st schedule in the country going 0-4, so they played a much easier schedule. We know these teams both play the triple option. We know they both run the ball 80% of the time, and they both take about 30 seconds in between plays. So it's going to be a quick game, as is always is with these teams, and it's going to be a very low-scoring football game. That total of 37, I think, is too high. I take a touchdown off my total because of these teams' familiarity with each other's offenses. And the 70% under rate over the last 20 years in military games. So my score in this game, I think, is more like 20-13 here. So I took the 10 with Air Force.
Talking to Kenny White, KennyWhiteSports.com. To the NFL real quick, much to my dismay, it looks like the Commanders have finally hit on a quarterback. I was wondering going into this game this week, do you feel like they're for real, the hype they're getting is for real, and are they favored this week going into this game?
Now, Slater, you know the NFL, the ups and downs of that league because of the parity from top to bottom.
Yeah.
And Jaden Daniels played two great games for the Commanders. But my feeling is Cliff Kingsbury was the head coach of Arizona, and his players knew it, and Washington knew it, and they said, Coach, we got your back. We're going in there to take the W. And they played just a lights-out perfect game. And that's almost 2 weeks in a row they've done that. They've scored over 100 points in the last 3 weeks. NFL teams don't do that, especially Washington. They're still a below-average football team. I think this is a spot for a letdown. Coming home, take a deep breath, relax, and Cleveland's going to come in and give them a great game here. I like Cleveland. I did take the 3 with the Brownies this week.
Do you think that if Jaden Daniels has another great game, right? They have another perfect game. All this stuff. Are the Commanders going to wind up being favored going down the stretch, or are they going to wait for that fall, like you just said, where eventually they're going to collapse?
Yeah, I guess it all depends on how Dallas does against Pittsburgh this week as well. If, right. if they take a loss and Washington builds a little bit of a lead in the division, they might end up being the favorite to win the East this year. And you know that division's up for grabs every year because these teams do not like each other. But I it's a rookie quarterback and. You know, once everyone gets a little bit of film on him and they see his tendencies, you know, they're going to start to slow him down a little bit. So it's a good story early, and he may last. Who knows? I just don't think he has the pieces around him like Brock Purdy did when he was a rookie for San Francisco. He had all the pieces around him, but Daniels doesn't have that yet. He's got a couple of good pieces, but I don't think he has a strong enough offensive line yet, and the defense is still a little bit below average.
Let's hit a little more NFL, and then we'll get to the top like that you recommended to us. We are in Circa Million. Boy, it's been up and down. Last week was a disaster. We flopped out big time. Each one of us on the staff is making a pick. Salerno, I'll get your pick. You're one of the backups. But Griffin wants the Vikes minus the points against the Jets. Lean, like, stay away. What were you thinking on this one, Kenny, when you saw the Vikes and the Jets matched up? Again, you made the pond reference earlier, but across the pond.
Yeah, another one. Yeah, this will be across the pond as well. I didn't have a bet on this game, but I think I made this game pick. So I would lean towards the Jets. Sorry about that. Minnesota has overachieved to my number. And obviously Sam Darnold has as well. And this is another one of those games, though. I stayed away because of that Sam Darnold factor. His guys are going to rally around him. They know he didn't play well for the Jets, and he wants to go back and beat the Jets. So I think they rally around him, and I think they'll play a great game. He's having a really good year. The offensive line's giving him time to throw. I always say that about any NFL quarterback. If he's got a great offensive line in front of him and they give him time to throw, I don't care if he doesn't need Justin Jefferson. He doesn't. If he has time to throw, an NFL quarterback can pick the defenses apart. So I think he plays well. The Jets got a great defense. I do think it's going to be a lower scoring game than the total.
Let's go to Sunday Night Football to close. Cowboys Steelers, and you're not on a side, you're on the total?
Yeah, I'm on the total. I did bet the side too, but I thought the total was a lot better than the side. I went under this total, and mainly because of Pittsburgh. All defense. This is one of the best defenses in the league. They're the most difficult defense to get into the end zone against. And over the years, Mike Tomlin is a tremendous under coach. 63-36 with a tie in his last 100 games, and he's 3-1 under this year. So he just continues to do it. I have him the 18th best offense with Justin Fields at quarterback, the 4th best defense in the NFL. Cowboys are a team that play, you know, they're playing a little up-tempo because they're trailing a lot in these games, and they're throwing the ball more than they want to throw the football. I don't think that happens. Pittsburgh runs it the third most in the NFL, and I think you'll continue to see that this weekend. Pittsburgh's defense is not bad against weaker offenses, and this is a weaker offense with the Pittsburgh offense. So I made this total 38, but I do like Pittsburgh as well. I didn't make it much higher than the line, but laying 2.5 when you make it 4.5 is a decent-sized percentage play.
Kenny, you're awesome, man. We appreciate all the information to close out our week here on Cofield & Company. Have fun this weekend. Win, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Stephen. Thanks for having me, guys. You too, Salerno. You guys have a great weekend.
Take care, man.
Kenny White, kennywhitesports.com. Okay, so can we set an official number here? Salerno, not on the donuts that I eat, but Mickey Sudo in this donut eating contest at the half at Allegiant to raise awareness during Breast Cancer Month. What do we want to go with? Because I set the 24 donut total that she will finish it in 2 minutes, 35 seconds, and a half second because we want to break ties.
Sure.
Well, what do you want? You want over, higher than that in terms of minutes, or is she going to beat that?
I'm going to go lower. I'm more towards Adam. I think not quite 145, but I think around the 2 minute range, so I'm going to go lower than that.
Okay, I don't have a good bet on this, but here's what I'm hoping. We have no shot. None of us do who's in this contest. And, again, it's at halftime, and right now they got the Torch Terrace open. Nice crowd over there. You come here, you can get in early, get half-price brewskis. I don't want to be mean. What I was hoping for before this contest is Mickey did get into town last night, and you know what happened the first year? When the Vegas Golden Knights were hosting all these teams in the NHL, they would catch a case of the Vegas flu.
Oh.
Now, Mickey went to school here, but she hasn't been here in a while, so I don't know. Maybe she's not on her game. Maybe she had a late night.
But, dude, I can eat a lot when I'm hungover.
That's a good point. I can't create a situation where this is going to work out for us. We're going to get freaking destroyed.
Well, you're playing for second place, though, so keep going. You know.
Yeah. Thanks to Allegiant for hosting the show and TI Vegas. Remember, get over to Oasis Bar and Grill. They sponsor our gambling spot every day at this time of the show. They've got great specials tonight. Lobster is on special. Thanks for sticking around, folks. I hope you enjoyed the entire show. Griffin, great job pulling it together. Thanks to Willie and all of our other guests. Adam Hill on his way to Denver. We'll see you.